It's Monday, February 11th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous run tech podcast. This is show number 835, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our February GoDaddy special, get 47% off, limited time offer, expiring 2 days from now, so don't waste your time, folks. Get that by using promo code GO47OFF or 28% off your GoDaddy order. This is a limited promo code as well, GO28OFF1. And of course, by DYN, get fast internet by using Dyn for DNS. Visit dyn.com/podcast30. Hey, folks, I am really happy to be back in Honolulu. Of course, it's kind of weird being back in the studio after being gone for so long and only had been a short time after CES, but I got a great show lined up for you tonight. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and boy, I am like way glad to be back in Honolulu. I can tell you, I got off the airplane just about noon on Saturday, got my bags, stepped out into 70, 75 degrees, the nice tropical breeze, no humidity, and I was like, And I tell you, as much as I would had a lot of fun being on the East Coast, dealing with the blizzard and actually playing in the snow, I was like, no, I'd rather be here. And so it is what it is. I'm wearing shorts and have basically did nothing but run around in flip-flops the last couple of days. Got a little too much sun. You guys probably, those who are watching the video, can't completely see that. But we'll talk about that. And of course, a lot more stuff here in just a few minutes. But I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here and thanks for being part of the family that listens to this show and being part of my extended family. Of course, if you're new to the show, welcome. And I tell you, this is the place to be. And we want you to be subscribed to the show and never miss a single episode. And it's real easy to get hooked up and connect with the show. All you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content on the website. Our writers are busy over there still putting up CES videos. And of course, got some new stuff up on the website too, some links to actually some of the products that were introduced at CES. But the main thing to do is to get subscribed to the show, and you can find that right there in the second column of the website, as well as get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter, basically, I send you an email with all of the show notes immediately following the show that guarantees you that you'll never miss a single episode. And you'll have all the links right there at your disposal. It's a piece of cake to do that. And again, come over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, you can watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel, on the Roku, on the Boxy, on Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, and just about any other device known to man. So it doesn't matter. Come over to the website, check us out, and subscribe to the audio or video, whatever may be your preference, and guarantee that you're going to have a great experience by being one of the Ohana, one of the long time and becoming basically part of our team here. So as always, I want to remind you that it's real easy to get connected with the show. All you got to do is you can tweet me at Geek News. Of course, you can email me geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. That'll get you connected up with us, and leave a comment about the show. And actually, I think I need to go over there and download that as we get to the end of the show today, because I think some comments did come in, but I hadn't grabbed it and prepped it tonight. So I'll get that ready for us as we get near the end of the show about an hour and 20 minutes from now, I'd imagine. So we're up on all streams tonight. We're up on Livestream. We're up on the Amazon stream. And we're up on Ustream. So we're just about everywhere possible. The stream is up and running. I'm hoping the bandwidth, looks like the bandwidth is holding out. And of course, we haven't been using much bandwidth here except for my kids Xboxing and do that type of stuff since I've been gone. But it's nice to be back on the fast internet. Oh, man, it makes a big difference. It really, really does. Just makes life move so much faster. Want to welcome Karomba to the chat room. And apparently I have given him some advice in the past about getting off the telephone. He's now using a Yeti for his podcast. Maybe I can. Yeah, so I'm great. Glad you made that jump, Karomba. So thanks for tuning in and watching tonight. But again, we're back here at a very late hour. Obviously, it's 8:20 here, Honolulu Standard Time, and it makes it late for most everyone else in the world, except for those in Asia and in Australia. So, I tell you, I had a great flight back, bopped in here, and immediately we were off to an event. Didn't even come to the house. Had some stuff to do with the kids, and I think we got back here 4:35 o'clock, and by then jet lag was dragging me down pretty much, and I didn't last only 3 or 4 hours. But I did want to talk about my flight back. There's a restaurant here in Honolulu I'm kind of fond of. I go to from time to time. It's called Roy's. It's a famous restaurant, and I sat down on my seat. I was lucky enough to pull an upgrade out of L.A. and sit down on my seat, and I was looking at the guy beside me. I said, man, I said, you look awful familiar. And I said, I think you and I have sat beside each other before. And he kind of said, yeah, I think so. I said, what, you know, you look, I'm trying to place you. I'm trying to figure out where, what you do in Hawaii. And he says, I'm the owner of Roy's. And I'm like, oh. So him and I had actually pretty decent discussion, and really humble guy. 300,000 frequent flyer miles last year. I kind of had to laugh because I was like, wow. I think I did 157 last year. So I guess I'm just a wimp when it comes to that. But he does much shorter trips and to the East Coast quite a bit. So he racks them up. It's pretty incredible. 300,000. That's a big number. But anyway, my lovely wife had a nice honey-do list for me when we got back. Plus, on Sunday, we went to what is known here as the ukulele picnic. It happens a day after the international ukulele competition that's held here in Honolulu. And so we went to the picnic. One of my wife's cousins is a pretty big ukulele player here. Has played with some big names. So we went and hung out with the family, the aunties and uncles. And basically, I got a little bit of sunburn. I got fried. They were all laughing at me because I've been out of the sun for like 6 weeks or so. And I'm telling them, you know, I'm going to be a lobster. And I was SPF 40 on it, you know, everywhere. But as the day, and it was kind of rainy that day. And when it's rainy and you get some reflection, it's you just get fried. So we got back to the house yesterday afternoon or late early evening, and my wife says, man, you look like a lobster. And I said, I feel like a lobster. I was just totally smoked and today it's cooled off quite a little bit, but I'm still pretty red in the face, and then a couple of places where my zories were that I didn't get sunblock. But it's good to get a little sun, but not too much. So worked here in the office last night, honey-do list stuff. Oh man, running a chainsaw, doing digging. It's been crazy. And then this morning, my wife is like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm sick. I'm like, huh? Yeah, like you were good the day before. And she has been in bed now, wow, close to 24 hours. Started to come down. She said she didn't feel good last night, but this morning she knew. So anyway, trying to mend her back to health. I think she got some sort of stomach flu and maybe the same thing I had in Texas. I don't know. I don't think I brought anything back. I was completely recovered from everything, but that's kind of the way it works sometimes. Hey, want to take just a second here, and we're going to get in. I got a whole bunch of tech stuff tonight. I got a stack. I really do. But I want to take just a second here and thank our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. You know, we got a really great offer this month. and actually a couple of offers, and one offer that's getting ready to expire. You know, Valentine's right around the corner, so we want you to think about your sweetie when it comes to Valentine's. Find a sweet domain name for her, and you can still use that $295 promo code by using the Geek295 code. And then, of course, we want to encourage you to consider using that 47% off code. And you can find that by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy or clicking on the GoDaddy banner on the website. And that 47% off code is going to expire on the 13th. So if you already listen to the show and it's past the 13th, sorry, it's too late. But 47% off on new product orders, not renewals. Go 47 off is the code you can use. Now, the 28% code is going to be good through the end of the month, and you can use this on renewals, server renewals, hosting account renewals. This is a great way to get 28% off your order. And again, go 28 off one is the code to get the 28% code. Now, there's a whole bunch of other codes too that we have available for you that we want you to check out. There's SSL certificate codes. We've got $20 off any order of $75 or more, $10 off orders $50 or more. We've got $849.com renewals. We've got $799.com purchases. Don't use that one. Use the Geek295 one. We've got 10% off on your non-domain orders. We've got 20% off on one-year shared hosting accounts. There's a whole bunch of codes there for every possible combination, and definitely try the one that's going to fit the best. These specials have been incredible. And again, we want you to get over to GoDaddy and pick something up for your sweetie. Pick her up a fine, nice, sweet domain name. And I have to share a little bit of a secret with you guys. And I don't know if I told you this on the last show or not, but this guy was emailing me, said, hey, this website name is coming available. We want to offer that to you for sale. And he told me what the domain was in the email. And I went over to GoDaddy Auctions, and that domain was for sale in the auction. I bid $12. And this morning I was notified that I was the winner of podcastsite.com. And why I needed that domain, I don't know. But I bought a couple of others that have just recently popped as well on the podcast theme. You never know what you're going to find in the auctions. But I'm sure if that guy had not... If I had not bid on that, he probably would have bought it and then tried to charge me like $500 for it, which I wouldn't have paid. But $12, you know, how can I go wrong with that, really? So if your thing is not new domains, it's something you're doing, trying to speculate on, definitely try the auction products out too. And you can use the codes, the renewal codes for, actually the .com codes on your auction, basically auction purchase to save money. I think it went from like $27 down to $12 for a domain that it was in the auction, and an additional $8 to, another $8 to register it. So it worked out really, really well. So anyway, definitely check that out. Thanks, GoDaddy, for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. I definitely appreciate it. So anyway, just, you know, I had a few people send me emails on the Insider program, and we appreciate their questions and comments. And I actually got an email from one of our Ohana too. I've got to get a video link out to you. Thanks for sending me out saying that, hey, I didn't get the video of the Christmas Insider. So I'll get that out to Ohana Insiders. So we definitely appreciate you folks that have become Insiders and are supporting the show each month with a small monetary contribution. Hey, I want to take just a second here. I've got a lot of stuff that is in the stack tonight. But I had, this is kind of non-tech related, but I had to laugh because every once in a while, reporters ask totally stupid questions. And, you know, global warming, climate change, whatever you want to call it, you know, this debate, and it continues to rage everywhere. Well, you know, this asteroid is ready to go blasting by us here in 4 days and pass 17,000 miles away. Well, on CNN, there was a discussion by a reporter. Now, who they had on was Bill the Science Guy. And many of you know who Bill the Science Guy is. He's a real tall guy. He's kind of skinny. And the person that asked this question was Deborah Feyrick. She asked Bill the Science Guy in a segment this past Saturday. She says, talk about something else that's falling from the sky, and that is an asteroid. What's coming our way? Is that an effect of perhaps of global warming? Or is this just some meteoric occasion? She actually asked Bill the Science Guy if this asteroid was an effect of global warming. Huh. Now, how an asteroid could have anything to do with global warming? Maybe when the dinosaurs were around, when one smacked the Earth and it put us into a deep freeze? You know, that was an appropriate question. But, you know, the Bill of Science Guy replied, no. He said, it's basically he threw a lifeline. And he says, the word meteorology and the word meteor come from the same root. So, no, it's not the same. But apparently this gal took a lot of heat. I guess she must have had weather on the mind, but an asteroid by global warming? No, I don't think so. But anyway, I wanted to share that with you. Sometimes stupid things reporters say just are completely out there. Now, I'm probably going to get an email from a couple of you out there. Everyone has a favorite soda, right? Whether it be Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, whether it be Dr. Pepper, everyone has their favorite drink, right? Well, I have two, and I have to be real careful. I try not to hit the caffeine very often, but you know, I heard this morning that Mountain Dew wants to basically kickstart your breakfast. And I'm thinking to myself, Mountain Dew and breakfast, probably not a good combination. But Pepsi today announced it's rolling out a new way to do mornings with Kickstart, a fruit-flavored Mountain Dew beverage. And it's going to be available in orange, citrus, and fruit punch flavors starting February 25th. And people are saying that their consumers have told us they're looking for an alternative traditional morning beverages, and one that tastes great, includes real fruit juice, and has just the right amount of kick to help them get started their days. I can't wait to see this and then turn the can around and read what the actual sugar and everything else is going to be in this thing. Kickstart, just what we need to start drinking. You know, I think probably water, not necessarily orange juice, because there's a lot of sugar in orange juice, but I think water or most anything else, any type of tomato juice or anything, would obviously be a much better choice than a Kickstart. Now, I might need a Kickstart about 11 a.m. That might be a good time to have one of those, but not as a breakfast drink. Who are they kidding? You know, I like Mountain Dew, but please, let's not even go there. But anyway, I've looked for this on, and I found it on Detroit Free Press. So you can see who they're marketing this to. It's not older folks. It's definitely the teenagers. Yeah, let's have a Red Bull in the morning. Not. Okay, little tech stuff here over at KRTV.com. They're reporting that someone apparently hacked into the emergency alert system and announced on KRTV that there was an emergency in several Montana counties. The message did not originate from KRTV, and there's no emergencies. Apparently, what was being posted, that there was a zombie alert, that zombies were rising from the dead. So, kind of an interesting move, not to say that there wasn't just something on AMC yesterday, I think, when, it makes me laugh here. But there is no quote unquote zombies happening in Montana, but a nice hack by someone. And I'm sure a lot of people got a little chuckle out of it, but I'm sure the authorities did not. You know, one thing that we, I told you that we would be talking on shows here, that we'd be talking in depth on some topics. And I don't want to go too deep into this today because we've already kind of hit the college thing real heavy a couple of shows ago. But there's an article over in Slashdot that talks about professors rejecting classroom technology. In the January edition of Science, Technology, and Human Values, published, there was an article published titled Technological Change and Professional Control in the, and it's quote-unquote, the professorate. The details, the interviews of 42 faculty members at three research-intensive universities. The research concludes that faculty, in other words, the professors, have little interest in IT solutions, in the latest IT solutions. What's really pointing out is that professors that are, you know, obviously tenured and older are rejecting a lot of the cool things that you can do with technology in a classroom or in a university or undergraduate study. And they are more about still using a blank sheet of paper. And it just amazes me here that professors would be so close to thinking that there wouldn't be gains for students by bringing IT into the classroom. One person said, you could teach all chemistry with a whiteboard. I really don't think you need IT or anything beyond a pencil and a paper. Is this what's wrong? So, you know, is our universities going to start having an edge, you know, loss of an edge because these professors are not using technology? And, you know, maybe they shouldn't. I don't know. But it is kind of an interesting thing, an interesting move here that they're rejecting it. I guess maybe they don't want to have their students go through death by PowerPoint. I don't know. But it is an interesting a read, and I'll have the link up in the show notes here. But basically, the professors are skeptics. They say you don't need IT in the classroom. And love to hear you guys' thoughts on that. And anyway, drop me a line if you have a comment, geeknews@gmail.com. Looking here at... someone here is saying in the chat room, have you seen the story about Ron Paul suing for a domain his supporters set up? No, but I'm not surprised. There's a lot of that going on with people trying to reclaim basically domains that people either set up in their favor or have set up to use as a sounding board to say negative things. So I'm not surprised with that at all. And thanks for the commentary there, Kramba. You can always email me here at the show. Send me those kinds of links. Those are good to have for the wrap-up and talk about listener comments as well. Hey, the White House petition on legalizing unlocking of mobile phones is trying to pass 100,000 signature threshold. And you guys know that the White House bumped up the number of signatures it requires to get a We the People petition from 25,000 to 100,000. Before the White House would respond. Right now, there's about 62,000 people that have basically signed the petition. And, you know, here's the thing. They're using those petitions, but are they really getting any administration action? Nothing does anybody know of anything legislative that has changed or been implemented or policy set forth based upon one of these White House petitions? You know, I think it's a do good thing. I think it's one of those things where you feel good about signing the petition, but has it really resulted in any change? You know, I'm sure if they put a petition up and said, hey, you know, we think the government should quit spending money, that about 70-80% of this country probably would sign it. But would they really do anything? I don't know. It just, to me, it seems a little gimmicky, if you ask me. And, you know, maybe someone can give me an example. I'd love to see one. You can tweet me at Geek News. You know, one of these petitions actually resulting in change instead of being a I feel good because I signed a thing. Not to say that it's not a bad idea. Anything we can do to try to raise awareness that, you know, the new law that's been in effect that makes the unlocking of a mobile phone illegal. So, you know, I understand why this is being put forth. And, you know, how the DMCA includes anti-circumvention protection and or provisions. So we definitely want to, you know, we'd like to see that law changed. But I don't know if it's, you know, if the White House is going to be any more open to discussing it and having, you know, trying to get a senator or a representative to introduce legislation. You know, they've been pretty anti-consumer copyright just as much as the previous administration. They really have. All right, let's talk just a little bit. This is getting real interesting. Judge is hinting at jail time for porn troll Prendalaw over identity theft. So the court's going to hear from the Brett Gibbs, an attorney at the porn copyright trolling firm Prendalaw, who's facing allegations of fraud and identity theft. Gibbs will be required to explain himself at a March 11th hearing, and if Judge Otis Wright isn't satisfied with his answers, he may face fines and even jail time. So the identity theft allegations emerged late last year. We talked about this before when a Minnesota man named Alan Cooper told a Minnesota court that he suspected Prendalaw named him as the CEO of the two litigious offshore holding companies without his permission. Worried about exposing himself to potential liability from the firm's misconduct, Cooper's letter was spotted by Morgan Peets, who is an attorney that represented John Doe defendant in California, and he notified Judge Wright of the allegations. So what's going to happen is that the judge is going to say, I want the real Alan Cooper to stand up or explain yourself what you have done here. And the judge is obviously not happy with the slipshod way Prenda has identified a defendant. You know, that's already been talked about in this show in previous times. But this is going to be interesting here that this lawyer is going to be given an opportunity to justify his conduct. And, of course, again, the judge is going to welcome the appearance of the real Alan Cooper to either confirm or refute the fraud allegations. There's going to be some lawyer might be going to jail. And it just shows you how dirty this company has been, in my opinion. We will see where this leads. But, again, the judge is hinting at jail time for porn troll Prendalaw over identity theft. And, you know, these guys have been pretty much out of control. There's a, over in Computer World, there's a security, article talking about ATMs, and appears that in recent months in Hong Kong specifically, there's been a rash of illegal skimming equipment installed on at least 10 Hong Kong ATMs sent from some September to October. And there's been as many as 18 people have reported losing money in December alone. So what's going on here is that they're just, you know, just reminding us if we're using an ATM machine, before you stick that card in the machine, really look at that ATM machine, make sure that there's nothing on there that shouldn't be on there and that they're not going to skim your card. I really think that the last couple of credit cards that I've had kind of have some issues may have been a result of skimming. And since then, what I've been doing is when I go up to an ATM now, I'm actually touching the mechanism and moving it back and forth and trying to make sure that that is not something that shouldn't be there and really kind of looking close and trying to use ATMs that I'm familiar with. And but, you know, when I'm travel, I don't always have that opportunity. So, you know, I really liked it when I traveled overseas because many times the ATM machines were actually inside a lobby and you actually, there would be someone there would open a door for you that you'd have to go in, a security guard would you have to go in and use the ATM. I really liked that a lot. And, you know, there was no monkey business going on with the ATM machines. So, so just be careful out there. These skimmers are pretty common. you know, for crooks to use. And it just doesn't take too much for them to basically read your card and then using a camera to be able to, you know, figure out what your PIN is. I'm always, even when there's no one around, I'm always shielding when I'm putting my PIN number in. And I think you should do that too, in case someone has a little external camera set up somewhere to record you putting your PIN in, because they can hurt you in a New York minute if they get your, you know, they get your PIN and basically have skimmed your card. It can be can make a very major impact. Now, another company that's making a very major impact is our good friends over at Dyne.com. And they are making some major impacts to some companies. And I want to talk about one of those companies that I think you guys are all very familiar with. And I'm probably going to pronounce this incorrectly. And many of you probably go to the site from time to time, but if you are have ever been over to Cheeseburger or Failblog or Memebase, their goal has a simple mission, making everyone happy for 5 minutes a day. And of course, the online humor sites, Can has Cheeseburger, Failblog, and Memebase is making good on its goals. And, you know, the folks over at Cheeseburger, and I'm probably saying that wrong, Cheeseburger, whatever, is needed a reliable DNS provider in the early days of the company. And they used a free service provider, but were forced off the network because they had become too big. So in need of a DNS provider that could handle their size, Cheeseburger turned to Dyne, and they had read a positive review on the company in the Stack Overflow blog and were impressed by Dyne's ECT managed DNS, which has a really fantastic reputation of performance and stability of high-end web traffic clients. So Dyne helped them replace their old DNS provider and scale them up with as traffic grew. And one of the biggest compliments they made is that since making the switch, they rarely interact with Dyne. And this is big. You know, you when you set something up, you don't want to have to go back and deal with people multiple times. And of course, you know, them being one of the largest social humor sites on the web with 24 million users, they needed a reliable partner, and Dyne turned out to be that partner. And you know, they have really exploded, and their traffic has really grown to sizable levels. And here's another, you know, website that started off kind of small, got bigger, and then boom, needed Dyne. But here's the deal. You don't have to do that. And just like I do, you know, use Dyne. It's inexpensive. The services will grow as you grow. They provide, you know, your pages are going to load faster. You can actually get in and add services, you know, as you need them. You can use them for some email delivery, for high volume email delivery. And it's actually something that I'm experimenting with them right now. Instead of using a service that we have been using, because many times we had sent an emailing out and it would take many hours for those emails to get delivered. And I am really kind of an impatient type of guy. I want stuff delivered now, and they're well known for that, and they do a great job. So what I want you guys to do, and this is for anyone that has a website or you have a business that's on the web, and if you're even considering the upgrade here to IP, Dyne is ahead of the game on that. It's simple. Get faster internet by using Dyne for DNS. Simply visit dyn.com/podcast30 and fill out the contact form, or start shopping right away and save 30% using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Again, visit dyn.com/podcast30. Here's what I want you to do. Just do me a favor. If you are even contemplating what this can do for your company, let the folks at Dyne help you make that decision. They're going to call you. If you fill out the form, they're going to call you. They're going to go through. They're going to tell whether or not the service is right for you or not, or if you need to use a different part of their service that maybe, you know, they're going to put you in the right spot, and they're going to get you to the point where you're going to get what you need and not have to pay a dime more than what you need. And as you grow, they're going to grow with you. And You know, I've been using Dyn for years, user dynamic DNS service for years. Matter of fact, still use it today for a couple of the projects. So definitely check them out. Again, dyn.com/podcast30. And you guys, you know, Dyn here is more I read about their case studies and the companies they've worked with, just makes me go, wow, that's cool. I didn't know that. Wow. And I think you guys will be wowed just as much as I am with their products. All right, moving back in here to the tech of the show. Let's switch gears here. And let's talk about what's going on with the Supreme Court. The Obama administration on Monday urged the Supreme Court to let stand a $222,000 jury verdict levied against infamous file sharer Jamie Thomas Rosett, was the Minnesota woman who downloaded and shared 24 copyrighted songs on the now defunct file sharing service Kazaa. Of course, we know that Thomas Rosett was the first person to defend herself against the RIAA of America, and basically she's asked the High Court to set aside the damages, alleging they were unconstitutionally excessive and were not rationally related to the harm she caused to the music label. So the administration weighed in on Monday, urging the justice to turn down the petition. So the petitioner has sought the court's review of the question whether there is any constitutional limit to statutory damage that can be imposed for downloading music online, the administration said. That question is not presented in this case. So the RIAA has also urged the court to reject the petition, saying that Thomas Rosett's problem is with Congress, considered judgment that her infringement should be subject to significant statutory damage. So the Supreme Court has never heard an RIAA file sharing case and has previously declined the two other file sharing cases brought against it. So this, again, the Supreme Court has got to decide whether or not they're going to hear the arguments on this. And I really hope the court picks this up. I think it would be good. And at least let them weigh in. I don't know. You know, what do you guys think? Do you think that the Supreme Court will pick this up? Do you think they'll reject to hear arguments? But it's interesting that the administration has urged the Supreme Court to let stand the jury verdict. And they don't want this going to the Supreme Court. So, you know, whether it be whatever parties in office, they all have been pretty much the same on this copyright stuff. You know, they basically are trying to appease the big media companies, for sure, and definitely the RIAA. All right, let me switch gears here, and let's talk a little bit of science. Over on Wired, and, you know, I've seen the Curiosity rover out and about. We've seen their incredible panoramas, but they've made a new one. They've made one that basically looks like you're standing off to the side of the rover and you can move around it. It's kind of cool. And we will see if you go over there and check this out. I have the link up in the show notes for you. If you go over and check out this this image, it is pretty slick. Of course, the rover's been busy doing some other stuff. It drilled a hole on February 8th. It drilled that 6.4 centimeter deep hole, and that rock was named John Klein on the surface of Mars. So, kind of interesting. I have no idea why it was nicknamed John Klein. Apparently, that was maybe someone that was involved in the rover's drill or whatever. But anyway, they are excited to run some of that dirt through one of their spectrometers to see what they can see from the sample that was drilled by the rover. And one of the things this drill was basically to clean the bit of any foreign substance as well. But I don't know how they're going to completely avoid that because, you know, you drill. You guys see what happens when you drill. Part of the drill rubs off. Hey, another article on Wired is Boeing begins flight testing the 787 to find battery faults. And, I just want to mention here, it just reminds me, on Friday night, before I flew home, I met up with Jack. Jack, of course, is one of our support team members and a great friend and listener of the show. He met up with me, came over to the hotel, picked me up. We went over to his side of town, and actually, he he had a double duty because he drove 30 minutes to get me, 30 minutes back to where we went to eat, and then so two round trips. So if I knew we were going that far for dinner, I would have went to him. But we went to Ra in North Dallas for dinner. Oh yeah, baby. That was really, really good and reasonable. Not too bad on the entry price. It reminds me of Japango's in La Jolla, north of San Diego. Really good fusion sushi. If you get into North Texas, go to Ra and eat. Really, really good. We're thinking fried chicken or sushi, and I really kind of had to say, let's go with a little bit lighter fare. So we did. It was outstanding. Well, the reason I just reminded me is because Boeing's ill-fated 787 has now been given approval. Their test bed that they have available is flying some flights to research and test to solve the battery issue. So they've done a couple of flights, about 2.5-3 hours long. They had a crew of 13 on board. But they're just basically looking at this thing and trying to figure out what they're going to do. They did not report what happened or anything else, but airlines with grounded 787s are beginning to talk to Boeing about compensation for the millions of dollars being lost as their airplanes collect dust on the ground. So we know that NTSB continues an investigation into the root cause of the battery problem, and we know that there was some evidence of electrical shorting going on in one of the cells of the 63-pound lithium-ion battery. So we'll see where this leads. But Boeing, you know, Jack and I were talking about that. Boeing, you know, has a big hurdle to jump, and we will see where this goes. Well, with sequestration going on, the Navy is basically delaying refueling the Lincoln and cutting short deployments and offsetting what they call O&M, which is operation and maintenance money. They are basically got to get rid of $9 billion in expenses. And because we know that, you know, the stuff going on with Congress. But, you know, I heard from a buddy of mine. He was supposed to go on cruise last week, and they basically canceled the cruise just because of these budget issues. So, real impact starting to happen. And I'm hearing of also friends of mine that are starting to get furlough notices, basically being told don't come to work after a certain day because of the budget issues. So this might start trickling down. We'll probably start seeing more about this in the news in the next couple of days. But I saw that the Wired had also covered that, and I thought I would do a quick mention of it. Hey, Dish's Charlie Ergen was at, and basically he's the chairman and co-founder of Dish Networks, was the keynote speaker on the first night of the Dive into Media conference in Dana Point, California. And I tell you, this guy, I haven't seen the video, but just looking at the cliff notes on the interview that he did, it's in basically what Engadget has up on him. This guy is pretty principled. And, you know, he is willing to take this fight with the Hopper. They're betting a lot on this being a win for them. And he says he doesn't want to get rid of ads. He's not against ads. But his main thing is that, you know, the television industry was against the DVR before. But he thinks that the ad model has to change. He says, you know, why does a woman watching TV need to see a low T and a low testosterone ad? You know, why can't they figure this out and have, you know, the targeting to be a little better? He says the broadcast industry is slow to adapt to that. And he says they need to make some changes. Talks about the technology. And he says, the technology has changed. We have to look at the total universe of what we compete against. He says, all the products skip commercials on the internet. You're commercial free on many things. So for us, we have to make our product better. And if we're taking a side, let's take the side of consumers. I like this guy. So, and actually it's kind of funny because my wife and I are looking at different ways to reduce our expenditures here, where, you know, we every year annually we go over our budget and look at how we're spending money, and we make decide, you know, we do call the cable company, we call, you know, we basically do what we can do to lower our bills. And it's amazing what happens when you call and say, hey, I'm thinking about canceling. It's amazing how many times they will, I'll find you a new discount. But we're considering making a move to Dish. And so I tell you, I'm really excited about this Hopper, because it's basically being rolled out nationwide with the Slingbox technology built in. If they can come up with a good enough deal, you know, we may be Dish customers here soon. Now, I don't know. We'll see. And if the price has got to be right and we have to be able to lower our bill and justify it, because I think you have to sign a contract with that. In a way, the cable cutting is continuing to go on, we may want to cut. But anyway, long story short here, this guy is definitely taking the media companies to task. So pretty cool stuff. There's a great article that's made the rounds today talking about Raytheon's riot. And this is pretty amazing. It's pretty eye-opening. Apparently, Raytheon has spent some time coding software to help keep tabs on what folks are doing online. The Guardian got a hold of a video from 2010 that reveals a Raytheon employee demoing such software with the Monkier Rapid Information Overlay Technology, or RIOT for short. Instead of sifting through streams of tweets and Foursquare check-ins to figure out a person's haunts and schedule, RIOT collects data for users and displays it in everything from maps and charts. And RIOT is even savvy enough to pull location information saved in the XF data of photos posted online. So, according to The Guardian, Raytheon shared the RIOT tech with the U.S. government industry organizations in 2010. But what they say about this thing is, like, they can build profiles on people that are pretty incredible. And they know who you're talking to. They know who your friends are. They know who you're hanging out with. They know who you're going to drinks with. It's big. And it was pretty eye-opening. But good stuff. I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to check it out. You definitely want to watch the video. And if it doesn't weird you out a little bit, I guess I should say, why should we not be surprised that this is going on? But you'll definitely want to review that. Okay, just checking the comments going on in the chat room. LG is conferring a 5.5-inch Optimus G Pro for Korea. Of course, I'm still using my Optimus G that was loaned to me. They haven't shut it off yet. Playing Ingress as well. I'm about this close to going to level 2. I don't know what I need to push myself over, but I thought I had enough award points, but not quite there yet. But LG is confirming a 5.5-inch Optimus G for Korea. Maybe it's soon to come to the United States. Microsoft is also talking for plans for premium content production, details Xbox 360's transition to an entertainment console. I think we've all been, you know, the Xbox, and we talked about on Saturday Morning Tech quite a bit, that the Xbox is the cash cow that keeps giving. You know, it's a big part of Microsoft's bottom line. So, but, you know, I don't think we should expect Microsoft to basically allow anyone and anyone to be on the device. You know, I've surely tried like crazy to get our network on there without much luck. But basically, Microsoft is going to, quote unquote, invest in premium content. And they want some of it to hit users this year. And they're going to ask folks to pay for it. And they're not willing to talk specifics, but you know, technically Xbox Live users are already paying, so it's possible that this new wave of content will be bundled into a monthly cost. So when asked if Microsoft's planning to fund its own shows, much like Amazon Netflix are doing, they seem to be open to the ideas, but the Mokin noted that Microsoft will partner with existing studios and content creators in order to give them yet another outlet to get people hooked. So, hey, Xbox, I got some networks with some great material. We'd love to get on the device. Please talk to us. We want to get on there with you. And let's make some money. So anyway, You know, it'd be cool to have tech podcasts on the Xbox. It'd be cool to have our other networks on there. ProMed, Travel Network, all that would be good. But we'll see. Or iOS 6.11 rolling out for the iPhone 4S, so be aware of that. They've got a bug fix there. So if you've got an iPhone 4S, update right away. Now, one thing I learned when I learned in the Navy was how to spice up and make an MRE taste better. And at times, that can be quite the challenge. And of course, MREs are really cool because they have they come with a little pouch. You put the meal packet in that needs to be heated up, and then you add a little bit of water, and through a chemical reaction, it heats up your food. And I mean quickly, in just a couple of minutes. And you get a nice steaming, nice steaming package of food that you can put Tabasco and different types of condiments in there to really get it to taste good. But the folks over at Magic Cook are taking that idea to the civilian world. So if you do a lot of backwoods hiking, you know what it is about, getting a warm meal at times. Sometimes it isn't permissible to start a fire. So Magic Cook is all is needed to heat something up with the Magic Cooks are the Magic Cook pouches and some liquid. It can be water, but you could use snow or even a soda. You place the pouch in a container, then pour the liquid over it, placing the cooking vessel with the food in it. The water will begin to boiling less than a minute, and it will continue to cook for up to 60 minutes. Can be reach up to 203 degrees. And once the cooking's done, the pouch is recyclable. And these are cool. You can get two package sizes available. A small package consists of a mug-sized container and 10 small pouches for, it's $35. Replacement pouches are $15 for a pack of 10. The larger package consists of a larger container and 10 large pouches is $50. Replacement pouches are $25. So here's what I'm going to tell you. These things are great in an emergency. They're fantastic. They store for years. As long as you don't get them wet, they'll store for years. And I think some folks that may be having trouble on the East Coast right now with no power would love to have some of these. All you need is a little water, and it works good, or a liquid source. And like I said, you use soda. Water is probably the best, but definitely check this out. I think this is fantastic. I'm excited with what these guys have done. Pricing is right. And definitely, I'm sure the food that we can concoct to cook in this thing will be better than a meal ready to eat that the military puts out. But you can get your meal hot in a hurry. Another article that I think you'll find interesting over at Geek News Central is one, Amy Caskey did an interview with Whirlpool showing off its Kitchen of the Future. Ladies, if you want to see what's coming to the kitchens, or even fellas, if you cook there at home, definitely check out some technology that's going to be in your home within 3 to 7 years. And there's some unique ideas. So definitely watch the video. And I have the link up, of course, in the show notes for you to check out. Final article I want to draw your attention to over at Geek News Central. Of course, each time we go to CES, we run into the Roku folks. And while I didn't do an interview this time, one of the other team members did. And so if you want to get information on the Roku stick, the Roku streaming stick, please definitely check that out. It's $99. Again, more information about it at geeknewscentral.com. But I thought I would point at least three of those videos out for you to take a look. Bill Gates has been doing some interviews. And he took to Reddit and chatted about a whole bunch of issues. And he was on quite a while. And, I think Gates is probably a pretty astute observer of technology trends. And what he says, you kind of have to pay attention to after all, the guy, built one of the biggest companies in America. And he says, if the microprocessor had not come along, I'm not sure what I would have done. Maybe medicine or theoretical math, but it's hard to say. He was talking about Steve Jobs. He says he and I respected each other. Our biggest joint project was the Mac, where Microsoft had more people on the project than Apple did, as we wrote a lot of applications. He said, I saw Steve regularly over the years, including spending an afternoon with him a few months before he was tragically passed away. He was asked, does he still code? He says, not as much as I'd like to. He says, I write some C pound and some basic. I'm surprised new languages have not made more progress in simplifying programming. I agree. And he says, he was wishing that it would be taught more in high school. My son got scared of programming a little bit here because of the obscure code being used in robotics programming. He decided he wanted to be more of an engineer than a coder, but of course, he talked about some of the things he believes in, on health issues and so forth. But this was a long Reddit session. You have the link up, and you guys can check it all out. But cool stuff to see Bill Gates coming online and doing stuff like this. Hey, there's some talk that Amazon may be spinning off the cloud. And this is, of course, this has come up several times before. But the topic basically popped up again on Monday, after Oppenheimer analyst Tim Horan issued a research note that Amazon Web Service, which probably logs north of $2 billion a year, a figure that Amazon does not discuss, would be better off as a separate publicly traded company, and that the parent company is likely to make that move. He says the spinoff is, you know, essentially guaranteed if Amazon wants to scale the business. He wrote that AWS is hugely popular among developers, and so it's interesting here what they're going to be doing here. But I don't know. I don't know if it'd be better spun off. It already feels like it's a separate product. But Amazon leverages their services and the speed of their service and what they do with all that horsepower. So I don't know how splitting them would really work out. Hey, Apple's got $137 billion in cash, and they're being sued because they're not distributing very much back to the stockholders. Here's the reason. The Apple has, like, let's see, what was the number that they're quoting? Apple has chosen to leave a lot of its money, 70% or $94 billion in foreign accounts. So the problem isn't giving the money to investors. The problem is returning the cash to the United States, because then they're going to have to pay tax on it. Deciding to pay tax on foreign earnings would negatively impact Apple's earnings 10 to 15%, but not the impact the company's future growth rate. Arguably 2013 would be a good time for Apple to do that, given that earnings expectations are at 0% for growth. But anyway, the reason why they're having this challenge is they've got all this money, $94 billion in offshore accounts that they're not paying U.S. taxes on. So a lot of companies do this, and Apple is not alone in doing it. And it's kind of an interesting, you know, that, you know, we don't think about this very often when we're buying products. But, you know, I'm sure all of them do this to a certain extent. And, you know, a lot of companies have money stuck in Ireland and a variety of different places where corporate tax rate is very low. Any interesting move, interesting conversation, why Apple is not giving out bigger dividends. Hey, do you want to say congratulations to Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan? They're among the biggest American donors, basically people doing basically donating money. Zuckerberg donated how much money this year? $498 million worth of stock to the Silicon Valley Community Foundation, works to support education and health programs. And Zuckerberg also made a pledge up to $200 million to create another group. So it's pretty cool to see that Zuck's taking some of his money and spreading it around, unlike some of the other folks in Silicon Valley. So very, very cool stuff, and nice to see that he's doing that. Twitter and Amex is going to be collaborating on e-commerce sales on Twitter. So Twitter has basically said that they've struck a partnership with Amex to allow Twitter users to buy products for the first time on the short messaging service. American Express cardholders who connect their card numbers to their Twitter accounts can post on Twitter to trigger a purchase of select products, including discounted American Express gift cards, Kindle Fire tablets from Amazon, and jewelry from designer Donna Karan. No, thank you. And there's no way I'm linking my Amex to a Twitter account. With all the security issues, they have to be smoking crack. Who would do that? Why wouldn't I just go to Amazon? Why wouldn't I just go to the American Express site and get a gift certificate? Why wouldn't I just go to Donna Karan's site and buy it directly? Why would I buy anything through Twitter? It's got to be the stupidest thing that anybody has ever come up with. Twitter's going to take a cut. Of course. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. No thank you, no thank you, no thank you. All right, last couple of articles tonight. Oracle is going to ship a fixed version of Java on February 19th. So be aware of that. They're still working on patches, not surprising. Some new clinical trials have shown to be some very good progress with the virus engineered to kill cancer. I just always wonder. I always thought that that would be the way to kill cancer. You know, I'm not a, don't even consider myself to have any clue on how any of that works, besides what I can read online, just like the rest of you. But they're saying that the latest trial of a virus engineered to kill cancer is showing some promise. So very, very cool. You know, fight fire with fire. That's what you do. You go in something, you get something that goes in there and eradicates it. And, of course, the key is not to eradicate the rest of the cells either. But they've had pretty good luck in doing that isolation. The FCC has invested $10 million in new network security. But guess what? That $10 million, just step on the toilet flush handle because they just flushed it down the drain. It didn't do any, all their work really has not improved security with the FCC. So once again, a big government agency just wasting taxpayer dollars. So an audit was done that basically said the FCC essentially dumped that $10 million in a hole. Just shocking. It really is. The people that do that, the people that are incompetent, that made those decisions, they should all be fired. Fire them. Make an example of them. Send them to the unemployment line. You know? Please. Because you know what? You got idiots making decisions on stuff. Incredible. All right, let's talk about Mega. Seven vulnerabilities found through Mega's security bounty program. So they talk about the variety of bugs that have been found. No talk on who found them. No talk about how much they paid. So there's a little bit of a transparency issue that going on there. But at least some were found and it's at least being talked about. CES has come up with new guidelines for booth babes, and they're not banning them, but I did notice this year at CES there was a much higher percentage of, how should we say it, oh my goodness, what is she wearing type of stuff, and oh my goodness, we cannot have her on camera. Really, there was some booth babes, and I don't say that, you know, that's just the slang is used, but some of the ladies that working were in the booths were wearing clothes that we deem not to be child friendly. showing a little too much of assets. I guess that's for a better word. You know, you had plenty of guys around the booths. They were gawking and coming in to see what was about the product. And, you know, here you've got this, you know, okay. So let me just give you an example here. All right, I'm going to hold up a little camera. And let's say this is the camera that you are demonstrating at CES. And it's just, this is a Sony Bloggy. So let's say you're going to, and I'm not saying Sony didn't have booth babes. So let's say I was going to, I'm trying to introduce this product. Do you really want a gal that you got hired at an agency that's had about 5 minutes of training on your product telling me about the Sony Bloggy? That to me is not a good utilization of company resources. I'd rather fly out a couple more people that were involved in the team building the product to talk about that Sony bloggy than some, again, some agency girl. Nothing against them. They're making money. You know, they got a job to do. But I don't want to talk to them. You know, I want to talk to the engineer. I want to talk to a team member. It's, to me, it sometimes is a little bit, and some of the products were kind of like, and we didn't even cover the companies because it just was a little eh. And so plenty of models at CES last year, more than previous years for sure. All right. That's it. That's all I've got for you tonight. I want to thank everyone for hanging out with me. I've got some emails here. Let's look at that and see what we've got. GNC comments. And actually, what I need to do is I need to go over and check the... Oh, crap. I didn't start that. That was dumb. Okay, let me go over here and let's see if I have anything that's come in. And I should have prepped this prior to it, getting ready for the show. But, you know, knowing me, just getting home, you always forget something. So let's auto-log in. Go ahead and log in. And let's look at the... I wonder if I can play these. Oh, a whole bunch. Where did these come from? Okay, let's see if these will play right in here. And we'll see if some of these might be people trying to sell me something too. So I think I've got this wired up. Let me turn this up and see if this will actually work. Oh, and this is using Java. Lovely. Is that going to work or am I going to... Do I need to download? Yeah, let's download it that way. And we'll double click it real quick. And okay, we'll save the file. Let's go ahead and open it and see what this is worth it. Okay, hello? I guess no one's going to leave a comment. Just blank air. All right, the first one was a bust. So we'll close that one out. That's the thing, you know, that's the mistake I'm making here by not having this pre-organized. So let's check the second one out. And let's see what we get here. Someone probably trying to sell me something, guarantee it. Oh, come on now. Don't act a fool with me. Let's play. All right. Why don't you want to play? All right. Let's try this one. You know, that's what happens when I pre-plan a show and don't have everything ready. So what we'll do is we'll play these on the next show. I'll go through them, make sure they're right, and we'll get to, what does this say? An error message. Isn't that lovely, Windows 7? Thank you very much for causing me trouble tonight. All right. Well, anyway,
Hey, Todd, this is Clint calling from Houston, Texas. I really enjoyed this show. I've been enjoying it for a long time. As for the...
Oh, that one was... We already listened to that one a while ago. So that was an old one I didn't delete. My apologies. So you guys got to hear Clint again. And so anyway, let me go back to the email. And now that I've completely bored you guys here for 3 minutes, let me look at the date here. Boom, 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 boom. Last show was on the 7th. Got an email from Sam. He says, you must check this app out. I heard about it on the Tech Guy show. Matt, can you take a few minutes to listen to the caller, discuss it with Leo? It's fascinating. Great way for people like me who don't have time to read and prefer to get their tech news and regular news by listening while I'm at the work or gym. You have to download the app, listen to a few geeky news articles being read. You handpick the articles to have to read to you, and you double tap to add an article to your playlist. He says, this is brilliant. I probably consume most of my news through this app. The app is called Umano, U-M-A-N-O. It is brilliantly designed. They have an amazing pay model for people reading news articles. So he talks about Leo discussing it, so I have a link up in the show notes on that, and of course a link to the app. And Sam, I did check the app out. It is pretty cool, but, you know, be honest with you, I don't want someone reading the news to me. I can scan through stuff pretty fast on Flipboard and a variety of other different apps to even Google Reader to find, you know, news articles that are cool. if you're on the treadmill, I think it's cool, but I don't know if I want that being read to me that way. To me, I don't know. It is an interesting way, but there's so many of these different things out there that build. In the other days, you can sign up for a service that will convert every one of your blog posts into an actual quote unquote podcast. And we've actually had to ban some of those services because they're just abusive. But anyway, cool. So again, Umano, U-M-A-N-O, app.com is the website to check it out. Thanks for sending that over, Sam. Got an email here from Billy. He says, hey, Todd, been a while since I wrote, but couldn't resist commenting on the Xbox rumors. I agree that requiring internet connection to play a game would be a bad thing as the internet isn't always on. Recently, I tried the enhanced version of Final Fantasy VII, which has a cloud save feature. After reaching a save point, I tried to save it, but it wouldn't let me because it couldn't connect to Square's Enix server. They were overloaded. As a result, I had to aimlessly circle the save point until I could finally save, as I knew the boss was in the next room. This really detracted from the game experience, and I assume the boss meaning your wife. As it turns out, thankfully, if you start a Final Fantasy VII with the internet disabled, it will let you save locally. Not being able to play when my or Microsoft network is down, however, is really, really, really a bad thing. As for not allowing used games, I have a mixed opinion on this. Game developers do not receive any money at all from used game sales, as games can cost a lot of money to make. Lost sales due to used games end up harming developers, reducing the number and quality of games that they can produce. At the same time, a lot of people would buy a lot of less games if they couldn't sell the games they have finished. Be honest with you, I think what my opinion is, it's just like a VHS tape. You know, I should be allowed to resell that tape. Personally, you know, that's my opinion on that. Plenty of people buying new games, and usually you can't get older games until many, many, many months after they've been released. So, Billy and Sam, thank you both for your emails. Folks, if you have a comment on tonight's show, you can send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Our hotline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. Also, you'll notice on the Geek News Central website that there is a brand new banner, and I'm going to leave it up there for just a couple of weeks, but I want you guys to think about, I didn't load it here. I want you to think about checking it out. You know, a lot of the stuff that we're putting up on the website right now is it's talking about all the new CES products. So there's a link on the website that said B&H CES new 2013 product announcements, shop now. If you click on that takes you over to B&H, and it lists all the stuff that's available that you can pre-order. And let me tell you, if you guys, let's say you're going to buy the new Nikon D5200 digital SLR camera. If you buy that through B&H, clicking from my website to B&H, by buying that $896 camera, you will have essentially supported the show as an insider in a big way. Basically, enough that I want you guys, if you're thinking about buying these products, go through my link on B&H. They really have been treating me well. I've gotten a couple of real nice checks from them for people that are clicking through on different products and services that I've linked to in blog articles. But all the stuff that we've been showing off, and plus a lot of stuff that we didn't, is listed on the B&H page. Cameras, lenses, the new Sony cameras that I fell in love with, stuff from JVC, you name it, they're all on this page. Lots and lots of different products. And some of them are advanced order, but definitely check them out. And we want to, and there's 132 items that is listed in this. And if you're thinking about making one of those purchases, please do via the link on the website. And we've got the B&H link on the webpage as well. So if anything you pick up, computers, you name it, they've got it. They've got pro audio, AV presentation stuff, camcorders, computers, darkroom stuff, photography, films, tapes, and media, lighting, portable entertainment, surveillance, TVs, underwater, and pro video. So definitely check out all those categories. Click on my link on the website, and when you buy something, that gives us credit. All right. Thanks to our sponsors, GoDaddy and Dine.com. Hey, definitely pick up a product or two and support our sponsors. We definitely appreciate it when you do. And again, my name's Todd Cochran here at Geek News Central. And feel free to Twitter me, tweet me at Geek News, or email me geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. We'll be back here with you on Thursday and have to make a decision on Saturday morning tech depending on what's going on. I've got two kids that are going to state championship swim meet, and they're both at a little different times. So I got to figure out if we're going to be able to do a Saturday morning tech or not. But pretty excited as a dad about that. So I'm going to go and do the video and watching them swim. So I want to make sure I don't miss that event. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for sharing the news about the show. Tweet about it. Tell us what you love. Tell us what you hate via email. And we'll cover it here on the podcast. Everyone, thanks. Take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.